Welcome back. You are listening to Oh For Fuck's Sake. I'm Lenny, your host, and it is October 25th today. Friday, October 25th. How's everybody doing? So, since it's Friday, we all know what that means. It is my Friday feels, and as promised, I am going to tell you guys about my involvement with DCF. Now, if anybody out there doesn't know what DCF is, it's Department of Children and Families. CPS, I believe, is what it's called up north, Child Protective Services. So I am going to just lay it all out there for you guys, give you the story, the whole story, the truth, nothing but the truth. I'm going to let you guys know now, if you have kids in the car around you, probably would not listen to it with them present. It's going to be pretty blunt, raw, real, to the point, honest, like I said, and, you know, just gonna lay it all out there for you. I know I'm gonna piss a couple people off, but it is what it is. It's my story, and I'm gonna get personal today and let you guys in on it. So, before we do that, though, let me give you the goods. So today is Bandana Day. It's Global Champagne Day. It's National Breadstick Day. And it's also Greasy Food and Sour Day. So like sour candies and stuff. It's International Artist Day. National Chucky Day. And it's Frankenstein Friday. It's World Opera Day. National I Care About You. So if you care about somebody out there, you know, just let them know. Show them a little appreciation. It's World Lemur Day. And then it's also National Hope for Henry. Now, I don't know if anybody's familiar with this, so I read into it, and it's so sweet. It's a day, it was created in 2019. It's a foundation. It's called Hope for Henry Foundation. This little seven-year-old boy, you know, he was born or diagnosed with Fanconi anemia, which it's a rare form of, it's a genetic disorder. And this was 2 weeks after he was born. You know, he began like frequently getting admitted to the hospital, and then while undergoing like several therapies to keep him in, you know, to manage him and everything else, he showed resilience no matter what, you know. He was just always cheerful, happy, active. He did not allow his terminal illness or sickness, you know, to deter him from anything. He played sports, he did fireflies, you know, it was so cute, everything, it's, you know, the whole article. Well, his parents were told that only a stem cell transplant could give him a chance of survival. So they gave birth to another child in 96. Well, unfortunately, the child was not able to, you know, match and make. So 2002 was the painful day of giving into the illness. So they decided to open up this hope. So I thought that was really cool. So that was my little blurb about that for today. Birthdays for today is Katy Perry, Ciara, Adam Goldberg, Craig Robinson, he's from Pineapple Express, and Kevin Michael Richardson, he's a voice actor. So shout out to him, you know, just because he's not on the screen, he still uses his voice. I'm sure you guys know him. He's from like Lilo and Stitch and stuff like that. And then Picasso, it would have been Picasso's birthday today, but he died at 92. So, whew, anyways. So now for my Libra loves, our horoscope for today. So the MSN one is, keeping secrets isn't difficult for you. With the added boost from planetary aspects today, nothing is likely to get past you. The only problem is that maybe those hush-hush things shouldn't be kept quiet. If someone has told you something that you recognize as illegal or likely to cause another person harm, rethink keeping such a secret. Don't take part in something by keeping silent that you are going to be sorry about later. Interesting. And then the horoscope.com one was, a sudden unexpected problem at home could be rather upsetting. This probably relates to plumbing, electricity, or some other kind of home equipment. You will have to handle it, Libra, which means you will be housebound for most of the day, waiting for a repairman when you'd rather be out. A friend might hear of your predicament and come over to keep you company. This is too funny. I swear to you, my house, if it's not one thing, it's something else. So that's just every day of my life. And you know, my best friend lives with me, so she's always here to keep me company. Rather, I'm always here to annoy the crap out of her, but It is what it is. So, oh, anywho, let's jump into Friday Feels. So, I am excited. I'm nervous. I know I probably will get emotional, but I'm just going to let you guys in. I want to let you guys know my story. I want you guys to hear, you know, what I went through, what DCF put me through, because there's a lot of people out there. You know, I come from a small town, and I, you know, you say, oh, you come from a small town, so everybody knows everybody, but that's how it is everywhere. But yeah, with that though, you know, judgment, you know, assumptions, you know, just, it all comes with it. Especially, you know, if you're big in the community and, you know, you weren't somebody who just sat in the corner their whole life. And I didn't do that. I was definitely a cheerleader. I played sports, you know, I did all that stuff. You know, I did Playboy. So it's not like I was this unnoticed person, and I'm not trying to say any of that by any means to, like, boost myself or, you know, I'm over here with my head's getting bigger, but, yeah, I'm just saying that because, you know, when DCF stepped into my life, you want to talk about when they say, you know, who your real friends are and who your real friends aren't, that is no joke. When something so serious like this happens to somebody, I mean, you just, it, like, hits you so hard in the face that it's like, it's for me, I'm in, and again, this is all my personal experience and this is all coming from me, my feelings, my thoughts, my experiences, you know, the whole nine yards. But I mean, it just, it hit me in the face, hit me hard. But with that said though, in the same sentence, it was the worst thing but the best thing that has ever happened to me in my whole entire life. So here goes nothing. So prior to DCF getting involved, I'll lead you up to with that. I was, you know, I had broken up with my middle daughter's father. I was now living on my own, you know, doing my own thing, doing that for like a half a year or so, not that too long. But I was, you know, I was a single mom. I was doing a lot, overwhelmed, you know. And at the same time, I'm going to throw this out there too. I didn't get the right help. I didn't, you know, I didn't seek a therapist. I didn't anything else because I was still dealing with my oldest daughter's father passing. Like, I hadn't grieved at all. I haven't anything. And I'm not by any means, I'm going to throw this out there too, saying any of these things as excuses or to justify anything or to, you know, be looking for pity or anything like that. I'm just explaining to you where my mind was, where I was, and everything. So throughout this whole entire Friday Feels, me telling you this story, just keep that in mind. Like, I'm not saying anything, I'm not sugarcoating, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to tell you how I was feeling, thinking, and what I was going through, you know, during this time of my life. So, I was drinking more than I've ever drank in my life before GCF stepped in. You know, I was fighting with my new boyfriend constantly. It was just like, I'd do everything and anything to avoid him, to stay away from him. So most of the time that was like going out at night, either with girlfriends or whatever. So I was starting to spiral. And come March 8th, 2018, I had just picked up my little youngest at her father's shop down in Melbourne, Palm Bay-ish area, and I was, keep in mind, this is when I was living in Cocoa Beach also, I was on my way back to pick up my daughter from school, and she had went to one of the elementary schools out in Cocoa Beachside. Well, on my way there, apparently I was swerving in and out of lanes, I was, you know, I look like a drunk driver, basically. So someone anonymously called on me and had reported me. Well, the school that my daughter goes to, it's off of Minuteman, so I'll let you guys all figure that out. But you could walk up to the school if you wanted to. If you had parked your car down the street, you know, you could walk up to the school and get your kids and walk back to your car if you didn't want to wait in the line or whatever. So I had happened to do that day. You know, I pulled over to the side and I was like, hey, you know, Brinley, you want to walk with mommy up to get KK, you know, whatever. So yeah, okay. So as I'm walking up to the school, in the corner of the school property, you know, two police officers are standing there, and they say, you know, are you Lenny? Are you Lenny Michaels? Yes, that's me. Well, we got an honest report saying that you were driving. Have you been drinking today? You know, the whole shabam. And I was just like, what? What are you talking about? Like, I wasn't driving all over the road. You know, I was in shock. And first of all, I don't do good with authority to begin with. I mean, how many people out there like police officers or cops or, you know, authority? I don't know. I don't know about you, but I'm not a huge fan. And I'm not a huge fan of being told what to do and anything else like that either. So I, you know, I get nervous. I get, you know, I freak out. I'm like, what the heck is going on? And they said, you know, have you been drinking today? And granted that, yes, I had gone to lunch that day and I had had a beer with my friends and it was like a beer and a shot. And so I was honest. I said, yeah, I had had one earlier today. That was probably 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago, you know. You know, what are you talking about? I'm so confused. Well, they said, you know, ma'am, you're not going to be able to take your kids home. You're going to have to get a ride home. Somebody's going to have to come pick up your kids. What? Are you fucking kidding me? Now I'm pissed. Now I'm madder than hell. So I'm like really confused as to what's going on. I want to know who called. My mind is going a million miles an hour. All in the whole while, I'm going to put this out there too. Not once did these police officers breathalyze me. Not once did they do any kind of sobriety test on me. Not once did I say that I was being arrested, you know, if I was driving intoxicated down the road. Not once did I, you know, get told basically anything about anything. I was just told somebody needs to come pick up your kids and you need to come get them now. So I did. So I had to call my ex and tell him, you know, you need to come and pick up your daughter now from Beachside. And another thing I want to throw out there, if I was so intoxicated, I don't know how he would have let me leave with her in the car, but we're just gonna let that one rest too. So call him. Then I have to call my mom to come pick up my oldest daughter. And I end up walking home. Granted, I only lived probably like 3 miles from the school. I don't even know, not that far at all. So I walk home. Well, I get home. I'm livid. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to figure out how to contact a lawyer, you know, who to call. I mean, I'm a mess. I'm a complete mess because my children are my life. You know, they are my life. So to have them yoked and ripped from me with just no explanation, no like, why was this done? What's happening? Kind of thing. It just, I was in shock. I was in complete shock. So I'm home and I get a knock on the door and of course DCF's at the door with a police officer. So I let them in. This is my first initial meet, basically, with them. So she tells me, you know, explains to me that somebody called, made the anonymous report because Brinley was in the car with me, you know, that puts a child in danger. They have to step in. But if I want my children back, then just sign this piece of paper and I can have them back. Deal. Done. Okay. Who the fuck wouldn't sign that paper? You know, especially a person that was in my situation. Sold. I signed the paper, and that was the day I signed my life away. I'm not even kidding you. Signed the paper, and the next thing, couple things out of her mouth were, okay, well, now this is your case plan. What? What case plan? What are you talking about? So you want to talk about a pissed off person. So I was already mad. Now I'm 10 times mad, more mad, because I wasn't getting my girls right then. They lied. I eventually got my girls back, don't get me wrong, but not at that moment. So now I'm fucked. You know, she tells me I have to take classes, go to, you know, sign up for this thing, blah, 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 the whole list of things. And I am like, what the fuck? I'm thinking, hey, my girls are going to get dropped off back off to me right now. No, not at all. So I just sit here and, you know, I just remember that whole day. I was so, like, when you say you see red when you're mad, I probably saw black. I was so mad. So she leaves. Of course, I'm screaming and yelling. I've just lost my mind. Lost my mind. For all you mothers out there, you have to know, you know, what I'm going through. Just to have, it's like a piece of you being ripped away from you, off you, part of you taken away. So okay, well, me being the stubborn person I am, you want to call me a drunk, I'm going to get drunk. So I drank. Started drinking. I remember getting so wasted that day. You know, and I really wasn't a big drinker. So I drank. And then, of course, that just escalates problems now with my boyfriend and I at the time. Beachside. Remember Beachside? That's him, yeah. So Beachside and I start fighting even more big time, you know, just unreal. So one of my stipulations or one of my things that I had to do was go to this place called Steps. For anyone out there that's familiar with Steps, it's a treatment center here in Brevard County. Well, I had to do the intensive outpatient portion, and that started with every Friday, which is considered the mom's class. And so I was doing that. I probably made it two Fridays, and an incident occurred between my boyfriend at the time and I, and there was a huge fight. Cops were called. It was a mess. So that then lands me now into the week intensive outpatient class. And that class was Monday through Friday from like 8 to 1, the most ridiculous thing in the whole entire world. I mean, on top of that, you know, I had to have a job. They wanted me to take parenting classes, which thank God my one judge said, absolutely not. Are you kidding me? That's not what she's not here because she's a bad mom. She's here because she has a drinking problem. She can do the AA classes, you know? So I had to do AA classes. How am I supposed to have a job when I'm in a class from 8 to 1? And you're not going to let me work at Hooters because that's where I was. I was going to go back to Hooters at the time. I can't go there because, you know, that has a bar in it. Like, it just, so I didn't know, you know, I was over the top. So I ended up having to, you know, clean houses and do side jobs basically to get by. Well, so again, that's Monday through Friday. That started, I was doing well with that. I had weekly visits. I had house inspections. I had P tests, you know, court, lawyers, all that stuff, you know, did all of that. I finally graduated from that program in 2019 of November. So this is over a year and a half later. I'm now graduating in November of 2019 because all the while I'm going through this, you know, when I was actually in that intensive outpatient class, I have a bad heart. So I take medication for my heart and all sorts of stuff. Well, some reason, when I had taken one of my piss tests, you know, I had, my tests came out funky or whatever. So, of course, you know, I'm on drugs and doing everything else. Well, I stopped taking my medication altogether. I stopped taking it because I didn't want anything to, you know, factor in and be an issue or whatever. I ended up even moving out of the house in Cocoa Beach, found a new place, you know, refresh, start over, everything. Well, I ended up actually having an angina, which is a heart attack, basically like a mild heart attack. I was in the hospital. So that's something else that I went through going through this whole process. But yeah, I ended up graduating in November of 2019. Gosh, thank God. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I graduated in 2019. I'm seeing the end of the tunnel finally. Thank you, baby Jesus. No, that is not the case. So come January. Well, January was the time when I was supposed to just do like my last, basically, you know, wrap up of the whole thing. And I was just, you know, ecstatic, you know, ready to do it, whatever. Done, 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 done. Well, in November, I also found out that I was pregnant. So I got pregnant the end of November with my son. And we hadn't told anybody yet because we were keeping that between us. Well, January, they come out, you know, and keep in mind, DCF comes out and tests you, and let me tell you, these drug tests, they pull them out of their trunks, so one, God knows how long they've been sitting in there. Two, I mean, there's nothing formal, professional, anything about any of it. And of course, you know, they got to sit there and watch you, which is whatever. I've got nothing. I have no shame in my game. But I mean, it's just humiliating. The whole process, everything, even down to like them coming out and looking at my house, because the house that I lived in, it was a double wide. It was a double wide in a trailer park community, but it was perfect. I mean, you walked in, it was not like I had ever any like trash and bugs and everything else all over the place. No. I mean, granted, the outside of my house wasn't gorgeous, but the inside of my house was livable for children. I'm sorry, it's not a show model home. That's all I could say. I mean, they ragged on me down to the point of having ramen noodles in my pantry, because what is ramen noodles? Who eats ramen noodles? Are you fucking kidding me? Like, get out. So it was just, I mean, all the little things. They tried. I mean, you want to talk about... I feel like the system here, at least in Brevard County, does not want to see you succeed. I literally had my caseworker tell me she had never had anyone complete their child plan or, you know, their parenting thing ever until me. That blows my motherfucking mind. What? Are you kidding me? Like, and when she said it, it was like she was happy about it. Like, you... she was proud of herself. It's like, what? Like, that is so sick. But anyways, back to my story. So January comes, they come out, they do my piss test, comes up negative or positive. And I'm like, what? And it popped positive for like four different things. Marijuana, cocaine, something else. Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding? It was like, because it was always something. Something, especially when we got to court. I mean, I had to take a piss test one time when at court, had to go down to the court bathrooms, take a test right there, of course passed. I mean, it was just insane. So this test comes up, you know, positive. Are you fucking kidding me? I was in tears. What? So I get 4 hours. You get 4 hours to go to an actual lab and get tested, you know, to rebut it and to fight it. So I did. I went straight to the lab, had a piss test done, waited on that test, got the results. My test came back that my creatine level was abnormal. Now, for anyone that doesn't know what your creatine level is, it is your levels in the blood are used to like assess your kidney functions. So breaking down the waste product and stuff like that. High levels, you know, indicate kidney problems, low levels, you know, low muscle mass, stuff like that. Other factors can be hydration, et cetera, et cetera. So she takes this as keep in mind, my test came up negative for any kind of drug or alcohol. But since my creatine level was abnormal, obviously I, you know, drank 5 gallons of water before I went in there and flushed everything, you know, flushed my system and everything else. Keep in mind, I'm at a lab where they send my stuff away and get it tested. Okay. So I'm done. You want to talk about defeated. I'm defeated. So I now am walking into, which is supposed to be my last time going to court before I can have my girls back, with my caseworker telling me that I need to go to rehab. So since I didn't have very good representation, you know, I am not a millionaire. I can't afford the lawyers and everything else. Again, I'm walking in blind and not knowing what to do. Again, just letting them walk the fuck all over me. So, you know, I still also have not told them I'm pregnant, which is why my creatine levels were abnormal. When I bring this up and tell them that this, you know, they don't care. They do not care. I'm going to rehab. It was already set. You know, no, nope, you have to go to rehab. You gotta go to rehab. You're not gonna get your kids back until you go. Fine. This is what you want me to do? I'll do that. All the while, I have, you know, you want to talk, again, I'm going to go back to support. When going through something like this, this is where I can relate and really feel and understand and know what people are going through, and because I've lived it and I've done it and I've been there. why people quit, why people just give up and, you know, don't push through and go on. For me, though, I mean, for me as a person, especially when it comes to my children, that would never, I would die before, you know, giving up or anything like that, because you would bet your ass. I mean, I had family members trying to tell me that they were going to adopt my children out, because that was something that DC had brought up, you know, having my kids adopted. Are you fucking kidding me? Get out of here. Like, oh God, it was, you know, it was miserable. It was horrible. It was horrible, horrible, horrible to think that, you know, even I had family members doing home inspections of their own home, you know, to see if they were okay, a fit, you know, a fit for my kids. Get the fuck out of here. Like, when it came to DCF, that was me being a good mom was never the issue. Yes, granted, I drank a lot at that time in my life because of the bullshit that I was going through, but I was never a bad mom. Don't get it twisted. I was never, ever, ever, ever a bad mom. But that's how they made me feel. I had it in my brain that I was the worst mom in the whole entire world. And, you know, anything and everything I did, it would just, I wasn't good. I wasn't good enough. I was never going to be good enough. And I failed at the number one job that I'm supposed to have ever in my whole entire life. I failed. So off to rehab I'm going. the first one that I went to, now keep in mind, both of these are in Orlando. I had to go all the way to Orlando to go to rehab. This is also during COVID. Which, I mean, it couldn't get any worse. It was just, like, one thing after another. I'm not even kidding you guys. We couldn't have family. We couldn't see family. We couldn't... nothing. So, I go to this first rehab that I, you know, that they... DCF has found me. And it's a nightmare. Like, I am not kidding you. It is just... I don't know. Half the staff's not there. It's poorly run. Like, they weren't giving me my meds. There were bed bugs. It was gross, man. It was bad. It was bad, bad, bad. And I was in my own room because I was a mother. So the moms got their own rooms, their little cribs and stuff for when the babies came and whatnot. But I mean, I could not do it. And cause you're in rehab, you know, you have rules, you've got rules, you got restrictions, you got all the whole everything. So you can't just go make a phone call when you want to make a phone call. You got schedules you have to keep. You got, you know, all the stuff. So I couldn't just go and call my lawyer and whatever. I had to wait till the specific time to do it and, you know, go about the protocols. Well, I called my lawyer and I tell him, I said, I'm leaving. I am leaving. I don't care. I'm not staying here. This isn't happening. You know, he tells me, well, you have to complete this or you're not going to get your kids. I will find my own rehab. So I did. Found my own rehab, which is also another thing that, you know, DCF thought that I wasn't going to be able to do, and I couldn't do it, and they were going to fight me on every place that I picked and every place that I wanted to go, no matter what. So we ended up coming to an agreement, and I went to WRO, and that is also in Orlando. That place was interesting, let me tell you. Coming from somebody who, you know, knew nothing about nothing, I'm going to tell you, I learned so much when it comes to this world of things. I finally realized that Beachside was on drugs himself. I never even knew it when we were together. I mean, I didn't even know what your DOC meant until going into, you know, these classes and tests and it's like rehabs and stuff like that. I didn't know what DOC meant, your drug of choice. You know, I didn't know side effects and what certain drugs did. And, you know, I didn't know anything about Narcan and all the things. You know, I've learned so much within being in that. It was unbelievable. It actually, you know, opened me to pursuing and going to school eventually for, you know, being a substance abuse counselor, but we'll get to that later. Anyways, so yeah, I get to WRO. When I get to WRO, usually when you get to rehab, you have to go to detox. You go to detox for a couple days before you actually go to the facility. Well, I get to rehab, I don't need detox, which I think when the lady picked me up, she said that was probably... I was probably one of the first that she's ever had to not wait, or first to get right into the door and not go to rehab or go to detox at all. So I never need a detox. Got in. My stuff, I'm a little little backer. So I get there and they're like, oh my gosh, you got everything all organized. You know, you're not allowed to take anything in there with you. I mean, nothing, no mouthwash, no nothing. You know, mouthwash has got alcohol. I didn't know that until, you know, I didn't know people could drink mouthwash, you know, to get drunk, which blows my mind. But that is a thing. So yeah, I'm in rehab. I don't need the detox. I'm back to classes. It's COVID. We do therapy. We do groups. I'm pregnant, guys. Remember, I'm pregnant. So for all the women out there who have been pregnant and know this, this was the most depressing, horrible, just worst time of my life, you know? And I loved being pregnant. I loved being pregnant with my girls, and it was just, it killed me. I couldn't see anybody. I couldn't, you know, do all the things, you know, when being pregnant, you can't go take maternity photos. You can't do all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was just finally towards the end of me being there. And keep in mind, they said, you know, you got to go. They didn't tell me how long. They didn't tell me anything else. But they ended up saying I had to do the max, which was like, or the minimum for me, but the max that, you know, that they wanted was 6 months. So I am in, you know, rehab from April to October of 2020. And I never once failed a drug test. Never once failed a drug test. You know, they take us for doctor's appointments and they come back and they test you as soon as you got back, check all your stuff. Just, you know, kind of, you know, people would say it's like being in jail. They even came out because DCF wanted a hair follicle sample from me. So I had to get pulled from one of my groups, go do my hair follicle sample. And, you know, of course, that's like the most exciting thing for the day. You know, Lenny's getting pulled from a group. Where's she going? Oh, she's getting a hair follicle test done. I passed that test. Nothing in my hair follicles. I mean, how the fuck, what am I still doing here in rehab? Like, it just blew my mind. You know, there were so many nights I cried myself to sleep, so many horrible nightmares, just, it was bad, guys. I mean, I don't even know, you want to talk about depressing, being pregnant, it just, it wasn't good. The food was awful. I mean, I made some really good friends, granted, rest in peace to one of my very good friends, but it was not fun. But with that said too, like I said earlier, best and worst, it was so eye-opening and made me realize, like, you know, if I would have kept drinking and sitting in that toxic relationship that I was in, that toxic environment and everything else, God, I was like, where would I have been, you know? What? I couldn't imagine. So it saved me. Being pregnant with my son saved me. You know, because when I was pregnant with the girls, I don't ever drink, or, you know, I wasn't a drug user anyway, so never drank. And then I mean, granted, I did do drugs when I was like in my 20s, 22 to like 24, right before Kenelon was born. But yeah, I didn't do all that stuff when I was pregnant. I was super, super clean. I didn't even know what it meant to be clean. What does to be clean mean? Figure that one out. But yeah, it was a test. It was one of my biggest tests of my whole entire life, you know, having to go through all of this. So I have my son in rehab. I get to go to the hospital, and, you know, that's a highlight. Going to a doctor's appointment, or, you know, having my son having him born and being in the hospital for 2 days, those were my highlights of my time. But again, I learned a lot. We did good therapy. I finally came around to realizing, you know, because I was, as a child, I was traumatized about seeing a psychologist or a therapist or anything like that, or a counselor. It was not a good fit. And that's just, you know, that had to do with personal matters and things within my family. But, yeah, no, I wasn't about it. And being there and, you know, talking things through and talking about things and knowing my triggers and seeing the things that, you know, make me do the certain things and knowing how to cope with things and handle things and, you know, just doing things completely differently, it would just open my eyes. And I mean, it was like a whole new world. Because before, I was so mad. I was so mad when it all happened. I'm stubborn as hell. Like I said, I just fought it all. But I finally was just like, just do it and get it done, you know, whatever. And it just got to the point where it was like, what are they going to throw at me next? What are they going to give me next? It doesn't matter. So I finished rehab. I finished rehab in October. Tucker is 2 months old now. We get to go home. Thank God. So now I'm home and I have to go back to, you know, a case plan. And now they have to see if I can live being home with a newborn and everything else. And if I can do that, then maybe I can get my girls back. Now, also keep in mind, while I'm in rehab, they decide to not sign my daughter off or give her away to her father, but they say that she, you know, she's going to be, you know, she's going to live with him. Okay, well, that's fine. You know, I didn't have a choice. I had to sign it. Like, what am I going to say? No. I mean, it doesn't work that way, especially when it comes to them. So they were going to do whatever they wanted to do anyways. So while I'm in there, she gets, you know, permanently placed with him. Now, I didn't lose my rights. I'm not her mother. You know, I didn't lose custody. I didn't any of that. She's just permanently placed living with him. So, and again, I didn't have my lawyer. I wasn't allowed to call my lawyer. I wasn't allowed to do that kind of stuff. So yeah, I just had to sign the papers and boom, it was done. So I get home, you know, I'm doing all the things again. I get a job immediately. I start working at the car dealership. I mean, I'm doing 12-hour shifts. And then I have a newborn, I'm breastfeeding on my break, or pumping on my brakes. I'm just, it's a lot. It is a lot. Keeping up a house, you know, doing all the things, going to meetings. I joined a Celebrate Recovery, which was so awesome, so amazing. You know, they will forever be a family to me. I was a leader there. I led groups. I did all the things, did everything. You know, I was doing great. And still they would come at me and find little things. They'd pick apart my house. I mean, it got to the point where they just couldn't do anything else to me. Like, you're done. Like, that was just the feeling. And I just talked about this the other day. It was like, it got to the point where I was like, you don't have anything. You can't do anything else to me. Like, what are you going to do now? Like, leave me the fuck alone. So, I end up doing everything I have to do. Now, monitored visits with my youngest daughter and her dad. So, we would meet at the park every other Sunday for 4 hours, and we'd play at the playground, hot, cold, whatever, freezing our asses off, sweating our, you know, just, it's not your ideal typical, especially, you know, I don't need to be babysat watching my kid. It's just, ugh, God, it was a nightmare. But finally, on August 1st of 2021, I got my daughter back, my oldest daughter, full-time, back to me, and my case was closed. Thank you, baby Jesus. Tucker never ended up being in a case at all, ever, because, you know, when I had him, there were no drugs in my system, there were no drugs in his system, there's no alcohol, nothing like that, so he didn't need to be put on anything. I just basically had to get out of rehab and complete and do everything they wanted me to do and, you know, cross my T's, dot my I's, and pray that once it got time to, again, you know, to get Kendallin back, because at least I could have her, she could permanently live with me, and then I could, you know, start and work on getting my visit, getting more time with my youngest daughter. So, yeah, August 1st, 2021, 3 years, over 3 years later, I finally finished, and I did it, and I will just tell you right now. And I don't know, and this is one of my biggest things, that I would love to interview somebody, and I would love to talk to other people, and I know there's other people out here, and I even want to start something for Brevard County, but I want to know how you were treated, and how DCF impacted your life, and, you know, what you went through, and your everything, because I know I feel like, and now I look at some of these stories of these parents and families and stuff like that, and I'm just like, what the fuck? This person gets their kids back, and or this person has their kids again, or this kid died because they didn't have their kid taken away. But I sat over here, and it just blows my mind. And it just, I'm not going to harp on it anymore, and I'm not going to try and think about it. I'm telling you guys this story, and I'm going to get it all out and just let it be. And, you know, I try not to dwell on stuff, but I'm not kidding you, though. I am not kidding you. When I tell you, they gave me PTSD. Even to this day, you know, I'm 37 years old. I am legally allowed to drink if I wanted to. Not saying I do. And again, I have never been a bad mom. That was never my issue. So now I get my daughter back, you know, and that whole relationship is strained. I am still, to this day, you know, me and my girls were, we were all inseparable. My girls were my girls, and they had mommy, and especially my oldest, because I'm her constant, I'm her only. And that relationship, that bond is forever broken. And half the stuff that I would hear them say, you know, that my daughter said about me, or they would try to tell me, just the twisting and manipulating and the everything, it was just sickening. It's unreal. God, it breaks me thinking about it. But to this day, I am still trying to mend that. My daughter, I mean, she walks around like I owe her something. And, you know, if she sees somebody drinking, it's like they're going to jail. Like, they're not going to go to jail, Kendallin. Like, and I have to explain to her all the time, you know, mommy got to a point where mommy can't drink. You know, it's just, that wasn't, mommy wasn't doing the right things. I wasn't right drinking that much and everything else. And, you know, it's hard to explain that also to a child so young and so little. They don't get that and they don't understand that. You know, in time I've explained things to her and I've kind of, you know, tried to get her to understand and recognize and realize, but there's a strain. I mean, there's a strain. I'm not going to lie on that, on our relationship. We were, our bond, that strong bond that her and I had always had, it was forever broken. You know, she constantly will remind, like, she, DC, I've told her I left her and I never want to see her again. Like, she'll tell me sometimes, you know, well, you remember when you just dropped me off and left me? Well, I never left you. I had no choice, you know? So, but yeah, when it comes to DCF and them and just the whole experience and everything else, to this day, I still have PTSD. I constantly worry about, extra worry, I guess you could say, cause, you know, you always worry as a parent, about your children and what you're doing and everything else. But I am 10 times that. I am like super, super, super aware of and everything else. And it's just, it sucks. It's exhausting for one, but it's just not how somebody should have to feel. But I do know now, I know my triggers, I know how to cope, I know what to do, I have my resources, I have my tools, I have all those things. And you know, I want my children to understand and know, you know, the severity of things and like what I went through, and just have that better understanding. And just because, I mean, for the most part, like me growing up, I knew drugs were bad and I knew drinking wasn't bad, but you know, not a lot of people did it. My parents didn't drink, so it just wasn't a thing. And that's why, you know, I didn't do drugs and I didn't drink in that much in high school and stuff like that. But I knew those things. And now my daughter just references it all to like, it's illegal, it's bad, it's horrible. You know, yes, drugs are bad and illegal and horrible, but I'm talking like the drinking. And, you know, I can't even, if I say, you know, I'm going to go to dinner or go on a date, oh my God, you know, it's like the worst thing in the world. So it's just all the things, you know, lots of mending. I mean, in 3 years, it's 21, 22, 23, 24, 3 years later, you know, it was just 3 years ago that I finally got my oldest back, and I'm still sitting here constantly thinking about all my actions, what I do, what I say. You know, it's, she, when I got her back, she was in the third grade. She went to school, told the school I was beating her with a belt. So that was fun. Let me tell, and it's just like little things. And like, she'll say stuff to me, like, I'm going to call DCF, or I'm going to tell. And that's so bad and so wrong, because that's, to me, how they've twisted and made her mind and mentality think. Like, she thinks that she can use these things now against me. And we were never, that was never our relationship. We never had that. Like, I was your mommy, and it just, it sucks. It sucks, it sucks, it sucks. Granted, I mean, things have gotten a lot better. You know, I'm here now, and all I can continue to remind her is, you know, mommy messed up, and I'm sorry, and I can't ever do anything to take it back, and I wish it never happened, but all I can do is, you know, be better than I ever was, and I'm here now. Like, I'm here now, and I'm trying to make things right. And I get it. I get how people give up. I get how people give up and, you know, just stop. And It's hard. It's very, very hard. So, yeah. But that's my Friday feels. That's my, you know, and I'm still, again, 3 years later, going through trying to get more time with my youngest daughter. I mean, it's just, if anybody out there has $1 million or is a phenomenal lawyer that will represent me, let's go. Because I just, it's 3 years later and I still can't get my daughter for more than 4 hours, 6 hours in a day. So, yeah, that's fun. But that all is money. Money and lawyers and court, so. But I am blessed. I am so blessed. I'm so thankful. Again, it was the worst time, but the best thing that ever happened to me. And I have my kids back, and I'm a fighter. I am a fighter to the end. And like I said, you better be damned, because I will die before anybody takes my children away from me. I'm adopted myself, you know, and I was once compared to my birth father, and you got me fucked up if you think that I was anything like that piece of shit. So, yeah, I mean, it is just all the things that get thrown at you and involved in the thing. And I mean, they're so manipulative, and they would tell people things that, you know, just weren't ever said. And it was just crazy. Like, they had beachside, they had it in his head, like, oh, she's so pretty. You know, you think she wants to stay with you? She could have anybody she wants. Like, are you, what? And then try to get information out of him. And it was like, what the fuck? Kidding me? So yeah, it was an experience for sure, one I will never, ever, ever do again, but I'm glad it happened, I'm thankful it happened. I could have never woken up better, harder, faster ever in my life than if it had not happened. So my bottom line to all of this, and what I want anybody out there listening, you know, if you are struggling with addiction, with drinking, with any of those things, even just stress and parenting and life in general, whatever, one, go see somebody, go talk to somebody, find help, find resources, find tools. There's meetings all over the place. There's, you know, there's rehabilitation centers all over the place, counselor, therapist, whatever, even a family member. You know, granted, half my family, you know, said deuces to me, which is fine. Whatever, it is what it is. Like I said, you know who your family is and who your friends are when you go through something like this, and that's something that I will never ever forget. But yeah, go out there and do that. Speak up, talk, use that stuff. You know, I can't express it enough. I can't say it enough. I've been there. I've done it. You know, I was quiet for too long and I didn't say anything. And you know, if I wouldn't have, you know, basically gotten caught, or, you know, or any of this happened, I'm not saying I got caught because I didn't do anything wrong, but if this didn't happen, I would have been, you know, halfway to hell from how deep my hole was going. So, yeah, there's lots of resources out there. Even me, email me, and I will talk to you. I will, you know, I would love, if you have questions, anything else, more of you want to know about my story, if you have something that you have a question about or you want to talk about, I am more than ears wide open to listen. By all means, you know, don't hesitate. But I wanted you guys to hear my story, and I hope this touched somebody. I hope this affected somebody, you know. And again, this is like bits and pieces and halves of the story. There's so much more I could go into, but I don't want to take up everybody's whole entire day because it's Friday. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening to my podcast, to my episodes. You know, it means the world to me. And yeah, that's all I got. But until my next one, you guys, we have a fun-filled weekend. My family does. We have Fall Festival this weekend, and I just got the kiddos their costumes last night. They're so cute. They're matching. One is Spider-Man and one is Miles Morales, so I am super excited. I still have to figure out what I'm going to be, because, you know, I have to embarrass my oldest daughter, of course, but I'm excited. I will be working the volunteer booth for everyone who wants to come say hello. Come on over. But yeah, I hope everybody has a great rest of their Friday and an even better weekend, and I'll be back on Sunday. So until then, guys, remember, don't do anything I wouldn't do.